today we are going back into our summer playlist series to get inspiration from a portion of Psalms 119. So take a moment now, prepare your heart for today's service.
Last January, not this January 2025, but January 2024, we had a young man that came and started as an intern here at Bethel. And he was here through about May, by the end of April, beginning of May of that year. And before he left, he came to me and he told me, he said, "I would love to hang around after I graduate from college if I could." And I'm like, I was floored. I'm like, "Man, you want to stay in Camden?" He's like, "Not that there's anything wrong with Camden. I love Camden. I mean, I'm glad to be here at Camden. I love Camden." But he's like, "Yeah, I do. I want to stay here. I feel like I've made some connections. I feel like God is, this is a great opportunity, a season for his life." And so I was like, "Absolutely." So he stayed on, and for a long time, he has been doing things with our children on Sunday mornings next door in the gym. He has been doing things on Sunday night. He did Sunday night what he called Morphin Madness for the children that would show up on those Sunday nights. Many Sunday mornings, you may have saw him on the announcement video. But I am just, I'm thrilled today because you've never heard him speak on a Sunday morning. And so I've asked Mr. Hank Paz to come and speak today for us and share in our summer playlist series to give us some inspiration from the Psalms. And he's going to do that from a passage in Psalm 119 today. He has been for the last 3 or 4 weeks at Windshape Camp in Georgia, with each week having about 150 elementary age kids coming to this camp. And he's been speaking at this camp for the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's got 3 or 4 more weeks to go. So I'm excited that he was able to come back and share with us. But one more exciting thing for Hank is that just before he left for Windshape Camp, he accepted a position at a church as a children's pastor, and also hoping to open up doors for counseling, which is what he loves to do, in Boiling Springs, South Carolina, at a church called Life Springs Church. So we're excited for him, excited for the doors that God is opening for his life. So we are going to pour into his life today as a church, but I just want to let you know, if you want to pour seed into Hank's life today, that I'm sure that he would greatly appreciate it, but I believe that you're pouring into good soil. Hank has been spending a lot of his time pouring into children, but I promise you, he is extremely intellectual, and he is a man that spends time with God. And I love that about Hank. So, church, would you please welcome Mr. Hank Paz this morning?
Okay, so, yeah. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Hank Paz. When I was here, I went to normally the second service, so I know a lot more people there. But I came in last January as an intern, and then I stayed all the way up until now, working with a lot of the kids at the church. And then it's been 4 weeks at Windshape. So Windshape is a summer camp founded by Drew and Kathy, if you don't know. It's a Christian-based camp. They do 2 week, 1 week, and they do communities. So that's what I've been doing currently. And then thank you, Pastor Jayden, for speaking on behalf of the transition. At the end of the summer, I will be transitioning out into Boiling Springs, South Carolina, into a full-time kids pastor role at Life Springs Church. And then I just want to thank Pastor Javen. I want to thank you as a church for everything you've done for me this past year and a half, for leading me, for helping me grow, and all that kind of fun stuff. So as Pastor Javen said, I'll be taking us on a journey through the Psalms. And we're going to be in Psalms 119, verse 33 through 40. We're not going to read it in a huge chunk, but if you want to have it open, that's where we will start this morning. And so we're going to go on a road trip through the Psalms, and that is because, if you don't know anything about me, I love to travel. Okay, I love hiking, I love going out. If you've seen my car, you will know this. It's got about 20 stickers on it between state parks and coffee shops. It's a Subaru Outback. It's just meant for travel, and so I love to travel. And a part of this is because of my past with my parents. My parents were amazing parents, and anytime we traveled, they had this key phrase. It was a key phrase that said, "Just enjoy the ride." And so anytime we traveled, whether it was planned or spontaneous, me and my siblings would ask a question, they'd always be like, "Just enjoy the ride." They would never give us an answer. So eventually we just stopped asking, right? Like, we stopped asking, when are we going to get there, how long? Because every single time it was just enjoy the ride. And so that's kind of the inspiration behind this sermon. And what I want us to think about this morning is, what if God wants us to just enjoy the ride in our faith journey? So instead of asking questions, to just enjoy the ride that he has us on. And so to sum it up in a sentence, we're going to look at an inward journey that God has us all on and how that's sometimes more important than the destination, but we're also going to look at what that destination is for us as Christians as we go on this journey, as we go on this ride. And so we're going to be looking at 4 points, and our first point this morning is to be teachable. And so we're going to start off in verse 33 in Psalm 119. And verse 33 says that, "To teach me, Lord, the meaning of your statutes, and I will always keep them." And so in this section of Psalms, in the section of Psalms 119, the psalmist starts out with saying, "Teach me, Lord." Now, the Hebrew word for teach here is yara, and it means to teach, instruct, or to direct. Other meanings of it mean to point out or to show. And in verse 33, that's what it means. It means to point out or to show something. And so this morning, we're going to see how this inward journey that God has us on starts with being able to be teachable, but being able to be shown something. And so the psalmist also in verse 33 not only speaks about being shown something, but speaks on being able to keep or comply with what we're being taught. And so when we decide to let faith begin inwardly, we begin by being taught what God is trying to show our hearts. And when we begin to let faith start inwardly on our own hearts, it shows us that the promises of God become personal for us as Christians, so we can see them fulfilled in a community of believers. But there's a dilemma that we as Christians constantly have going on. And this dilemma is a constant inward growth personally that is to be lived out outwardly in a community with others who are on the same inward journey themselves. Yet this inward journey looks different for each and every single one of us, yet we all live it out in the same Christian community, right? For us, it's here at Bethel. We all grow differently. We all are being taught different things. We're being convicted of different things in our hearts. And then and we get into community, when we get into Bethel, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's a Sunday night or Wednesday, we live those convictions out together in a community of believers. And so it's a dilemma where a balanced inward and outward expression of faith become intertwined in everyday life. And it's a dilemma presented at every right turn, just to keep going with the whole road trip thing. So the question presented through this sermon is going to be, how are we supposed to be learners on what becomes this complex balance of growing personally while living in outward expression of that growth? And that's the question that I want us to ponder on this morning and to think about. Because we see that the Word of God never changes, right? Like, it always stays the same. The text never changes, the chapters never change, the verses never change, well, depending on what translation you have. But the words inside of it never change. The authors never change, and the author, that the person that inspired the authors, God, he never changes. What does change, however, is how each person perceives what it says. What does change is how it impacts every single person that reads it. Because we're not all going to be impacted by the Word of God in the same way. We're all being taught different things. And so a big aspect of being taught by God is being able to be interrupted by God, right? And so I'm going to introduce this to a person named Bonhoeffer. He was a German theologian. And he has this quote that says, "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God." Now, another person by the name of John Bunyan, he wrote the book called Pilgrim's Progress. It's essentially, he is dreaming about going to heaven, and it's a really good book if you ever had time to read it. But he also has a quote that says, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." And both of these theologians, these classic people, teach us and show us ways to be interrupted by God. One is through prayer, and then one is just to be interrupted by God. Now, these are important parts of being interrupted by God. Prayer is an important way for God to speak to us, to be interrupted by God, as Bonhoeffer says. To speak little and to listen through scripture and silence, as John Bunyan points out, is the second way to be interrupted by God. Now, while these two people, Bonhoeffer and John Bunyan, are talking about scripture, it speaks to the ways that we learn from scripture, right? We can learn from scripture through prayer. We can learn from scripture by being interrupted by God while we read scripture. But King David, who is the author of most of the Psalms, gives us a third way to be interrupted by God. And if you didn't know, the Psalms are mostly songs that he's written for God, to be sung to God. And so that's a third way that King David has taught us being interrupted by God. And that's during like worship, as we do on Sunday mornings. And but there's, I want to bring us to two other verses that show us this translation of Ibarra. So in 119, verse 32, it says, "Praise be to you, Lord, teach me your decrees." And then in Psalm 32, 8, he says, "I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eyes on you, I will give you counsel." And so we see in verse 32 that we are pointed towards outward actions. But in order to have an outward action, we first have to have an inward presence. We have to have an inward help first. And so in verse 32, it shows that inwardly we start to learn and we start to grow what we are being taught, and that we go from choosing faith to running or clinging to faith. And that's the inward to the outward actions. And it shows the full picture of this road trip. And that key phrase in Psalms 119:32 is to enlarge my heart. For the psalmist, David, says to enlarge my heart. And this is going to bring us to our second point. And our second point is that of being, or that of gaining understanding. And so in verse 34, he says to help me understand your instruction and I will obey it and follow it with all of my heart. So our first point was being able to be teachable, that we learn differently, but that we all learn to live in a community of believers, that the word of God never changes, that God never changes, but how it impacts each of us individually varies across the board. And that what changes is how we are all shown and convicted of what the word of God says. And so this brings us to our second point, to gain understanding. And that once something is set upon our hearts, once something is convicted upon, something has to change or something has to happen in order for that, in order for us to go from learning to understanding. And so I want to bring in a little personal story here in a second. And it has to do with hiking, road trips, coffee shops, and how those all for me in my season of learning and growing have become a way to enter a spiritual avenue of growth. And this goes, I'm going to go back into my faith journey a little bit to hone in on this second point. And so I got my call to ministry when I was 14 years old. I was in my, I think it was freshman year of high school. It may have been the summer going into freshman year of high school. But me and my mom, we were living in Georgia at the time. This was before we moved to North Carolina. And we were at a local church at the time. And we decided to go on a mission trip with this local church. So we went to Peru on a mission trip. We stayed for about a week. And we helped out at an orphanage for the week. Like, we painted a gazebo. We got to hang out with the kids. It was a really fun time. And I remember, I could not tell you anything about that trip other than painting a gazebo, to be quite honest. And that I ruined a jacket that I really enjoyed. which is really painful if you know me, as I have hoodies and flannels in my closet, and that's pretty much what I wear. But the second night, the second day before leaving, we met as a small group at the top of the orphanage, on the rooftop of the orphanage, just to discuss, like, what happened that week, how we saw God moving, you know, those kind of normal missionary journeys and trips. And so I remember that after this conversation, I went and sat on the rooftop of the orphanage, which, thinking back on it, was probably not the best decision to sit on a rooftop at night when I can't see below me. But I did. And I just remember looking out into the city that we were staying in was in the valley, mountains on all sides. And on this particular night, when I'm sitting out on this rooftop, I just see the sunset setting, the mountains are on the sides. It's like a gray, it's not gray, it's like an orange and yellow sunset. The sky is beautiful. The city is highlighted by the different rays of the sun. And in that moment, that's when I say that I came to be a true believer, when I gave my life to Christ, but also when I got my call to ministry. Now, at the time, could I tell you that it was for kids' ministry? Not at all. And I did not know that in college either. That's kind of been a recent development. But this brings us to our second point, that being shown something leads to an understanding of something. And to keep with our road trip theme, if you go traveling in the mountains, you have these overlooks, right? Like, as you're going to the mountain, you have these particular sides where you can stop off, and you see the mountains, you see the valley where you came from. And this part of the sermon is kind of like the overlooks. Like, God's convictions don't always show how or why, right? sometimes they're even confusing. You're just baffled. Well, the overlooks in this illustration are sort of like those clear moments where you finally understand what God is teaching you, where you finally gain understanding. Because as you're going up a mountain, most of them you can't see in front of you, right? There's all these twists, there's all these turns, you can't see around the corner. But you get to the overlook and you finally see what you couldn't see before. And this is much like when we get understanding from God. At first, it's confusing. At first, we don't know what we're being taught or why we're even being taught. But then when we get to these overlooked moments, they become a clear picture of what God is teaching us. And so the Hebrew word for understanding is ben. And if, Pastor, even if I missay these words, you can correct me on this. And ben also means to discern or to understand. So we're going to go to three more places in Scripture and in Psalms that show us the importance of understanding. So Psalm 32:9 says that do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding that must be controlled with bit and bridle or else it will not come near you. And then Psalm 49:20 says that mankind in its splendor yet without understanding is like the animals that perish. And then Psalm 94:8 says that understand, O dullest of people, fools, when will you be wise? And so we see that through the Psalms, through the writings of King David and others, that understanding isn't just another aspect of life, but that it's a foundational way for practical application of the scriptures that we read. In other words, these metaphorical overlooks that we're talking about allow us to see how far up the mountain God has brought us. We see how far in our journey of life God has brought us along. And so Exodus 3:9-12 brings us to another biblical character who understood the importance of gaining wisdom. And that character is none other than Solomon. So Exodus 3:9-12 says that, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For those who can govern this great people of yours, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and ministering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And so we see how Solomon understands the importance of not just being taught something, but understanding what we are taught. And that knowledge without understanding is just information. And so we get this picture of an understanding paired with knowledge. And Bonhoeffer, who we first saw at the beginning of this sermon, goes on to say another statement that says, we are to find God in what we know, not in what we don't know. And that sometimes we can be so focused on learning something new that we forget to see God in what we already know. Now I want to take us to a third character in Scripture to hone in on this second point a little more. And that character is Job. Job understood a further point of what Solomon was asking. Job understood that understanding is not always easy. In just the first few chapters of the book, we see that Job lost everything. He lost his children, he lost his livestock, he lost his servants, and then in the second chapter, he loses his health. Job not only lost outwardly things, but he eventually lost an inward part of himself. But if you go towards the middle of the book, you see how Job starts to understand what this journey has been all about for him. And so in Job 23:5, it says, I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Perceive in Hebrew, the word perceive in Job 23:5 has the same meaning that David gives in Psalm 119:34. And so Job, just like David and now King Solomon, speaks on learning and understanding in the same way that we see in our psalm. And this brings us to our third point. This brings us to our point of being directed. And now I want to take a moment to emphasize something here. The first two points of our sermon, to learn and to gain understanding, are all about how we inwardly perceive the Word of God. Now we inwardly let it impact our lives. So these next two points, starting with to be directed, is all about how we take what we learned and understood and then apply it into a community of believers. It's where we finally get to see what we are being directed to. And so Psalm 119, verses 35-37 says, to help me stay on the path under your commands, for I take pleasure in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to dishonest. Prophet, turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. In a second, I'm going to bring attention to three words in that section of scripture. But another translation of verse 35 says, to lead me in the path. And so Cardinal Berenos, which is a Catholic historian, once wrote that the Bible is written to show us how to go to heaven, not how the heavens go. So now that we've made it to the overlook, we've gone up the mountain, we finally see where God has taken us, we finally understand what we are being taught and why we are being taught. We now know which direction to travel for our destination. But what is our destination? So there's three things that become our destination. In verse 35, our first destination is your commands. Our second destination is your statutes in verse 36. Our third direction is your word in verse 37. As Christians, while we are understanding what Scripture teaches, it's all to be directed back to Jesus, back to God and His commands, His statutes, and His word. So we're going to go to James 1, chapter 21, and we're going to transition into the New Testament a little bit and see how the New Testament applies this aspect of being taught and to gain understanding. We're going to see how the life of the organized church was connecting what the psalmist said to James' instructions. And so, in James chapter 1, verse 21, he speaks on an implanted word, to be more than hearers. For he says that, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And so, James connects the first part of our road trip to the second part of our road trip. He makes the connection from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And how does he do that, though? Well, in Hebrew, the word shav means vain or vanity. And in Psalm 119, verse 37, David translates it as worthless. When James, later on in the book, in chapter 4, verse 5, says, or do you think that it is without reason that the Scripture says, the Spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely? So John 4 speaks on submitting to God and resisting evil. That's the grand scope of that chapter. In this one verse, James uses the word kinos, which means vanity or vain, which he translates as reason in verse 5. And so we see that James uses the same meaning in the word kinos as David does in the psalm, that both are speaking about vain or vanity, and how our inward lives of faith, the journey that we have gone on, that God brings us on, is connected to outwardly living. And so David Entwistle, who is a clinical psychologist, says it this way, that as we explore the wonders of God's creation, we become inquisitive about the nature of our world, and we become builders of culture and relationship. And there's two things in this quote that I really want to point out. That as we inwardly learn, as we inwardly understand what we're being taught and the convictions of our hearts, we do two things in a community of believers. First, we build culture. And then, as we build culture, we build relationship. And we build those things based on the three directions that we've been pointing out in verses 35 through 37. That we do those things, we do those two things, we complete those two things by first being directed to your commands, by being directed to his statutes, and by being directed to his word. As we understand, we are directed to bring heaven to earth in a way. In two ways, we do this by building relationship, and we build a culture that seeks the kingdom of heaven. Now, while these relationships, while this community may be flawed every now and then, while they may have flaws within it, while we as humans may have flaws inside of us, it's all built on the foundation of Scripture's conviction, which is why the inward journey is so important to community. Why community often starts within. An example of this is youth. Every year, or for most years, the youth go to Accelerant, which is a big IPHC conference for the youth across the country. And it's a weekend where they learn scripture, they learn truth, they worship together as a community of the next generation. And oftentimes, this is also filled with countless selfies, plenty of laughs, pool parties, those sort of things. Now, if you're to ask the youth, at least if you were asking me while I was in youth, I would not recall anything from the weekend, like scripture-wise or worship-wise, other than what I've written in my notebook. But what I could tell you, what I could remember, what most of them probably do remember, is that one joke that caused all the laughter. What they could recall and tell you is that one event that happened in the selfie. And we see that because of a foundation of being built on scripture, of being built on worship, the youth at Accelerant are able to build bonds with each other. They're able to, as David Entwistle says, to build relationship on a culture that seeks the kingdom of God. And then for me personally, and a great example of this is Windshape. Windshape is an amazing Christian summer camp. So I'm just going to shout them out real quick. If you ever want to send your kids to summer camp, do it to Windshape. While a lot of us at Windshape, all staff, are from very different places. Like a lot of, I've got one friend from Windshape this summer that's from California. I've got three from Mississippi, two from Alabama. Like we're just all over the place, right? But we build bonds as brothers in Christ because while we're at Windshape, our relationships, our memories are built on the basis of the kingdom of God. They're built on biblical truths that we, as a staff, have to show to the kids. They come. And so in turn, we build relationship. We complete the two things, just like the youth do, that David Entwistle talks about. That as we start on our inward journey, we in turn build community and that we build relationships. But this is the beauty, right, of giving a godly direction from understanding, that we start to build relationship, we start to build community, but that something first has to happen. That in order to point someone else to Christ, we must allow ourselves to point it to Christ. Right? And this is where the inward journey also becomes important. And this is why the first 2 points of the sermon showed us how to become the image of God through learning and understanding. It shows us how the implanted word that we receive and we learn and we understand leads to directive action. And so we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And we're going to see that love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy and it is not boastful. It is not arrogant, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. For love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. That it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And that becomes the basis of a relationship, of a godly founded relationship, a godly founded community. To betray a love that is much like the Creator, much like God. And so, but why be directed, right? And that brings us to our fourth point. So why be directed? This brings us to our fourth point. And we're going to go to Psalm 119, verse 38. To confirm what you said to your servant, for it produces reverence for you. And so we see that our fourth point, the reason to be directed, is to be directed to the promises and the fulfillment of those promises that God has given us. Now, the Hebrew word qam means to arise or establish. Other translations include confirm, stand firm, or fulfill. But in order for something to be fulfilled, it has to be established, right? Well, we are always directed back to God's promises. And ultimately, to be directed to His Son, Jesus Christ, the ultimate promise that we saw fulfilled in the New Testament. Carbarth states that he does not confess his messiahship until the moment when the danger of founding a religion is past. The whole purpose of Christianity is not to, and the whole purpose of being a Christian, to believing in the Word of God, to being taught, to gain understanding, is to be directed to the promises of God, which gives us eternal life with Jesus. And that becomes the fulfillment of God's promises, eternal life with Jesus. And 1 Peter 1, 3-4 speaks on the established promise that we are all given, that we can all stand firm upon until the day is fulfilled. And so 1 Peter 1, 3-4 says, "Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. For you are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And so faith is the promise of salvation. Faith is found in the salvation of an inward journey that is in turn directed outwards in outward living. And we're going to go to one last quote. If you haven't found out by now, I love quotes. I love reading. So I put that into the sermon. So Kierkegaard makes a statement that just as the quiet lake originates deep down in the hidden springs no eye has seen, so also does a person's love originate even more deeply in God's love. Just as the quiet lake originates darkly in the deep spring, so a human being's love originates mysteriously in God's love. Now we see that Kierkegaard makes a connection. That salvation, because of the faith shared, becomes the harmony found in God's love and his creation's love once it's fully dependent upon him. Once we realize that to be taught, to understand Scripture is to be directed and then to be fulfilled in the promises of God. So to end the sermon, to end this morning, I want to bring a period of practical application for you guys. And this practical application raises the question of where does your inward journey start? For me, I go stargazing every Sunday night. I go hiking twice a month. And for me, these are moments where my inward journey starts. It doesn't start in a pew, a sanctuary, within the walls of a church. Not that all that is bad. But my journey starts in an intimate moment where it's just me, it's just God, and it's just his creation. And so for me, that's how my teaching starts. That's how being, for me, taught the words of God and taught the convictions of God and the understanding of God. For me, that's where it happens. It happens late night stargazing when it's 12 p.m. and I should be in bed. Or it's 9 degrees outside at 1 p.m. on top of a mountain. But where does yours start? Where does your inward journey start? So that's what I want us to think about this morning. That's what I want you guys to apply to this week. That the end destination for a Christian never changes. That it's always the fulfillment of God's promises. Yet what does change is how we start on that journey. So where do you start on that journey? All of us are teachable, but we do not individually learn the same way. So a practical way to accomplish this, and this is something that I apply into my life, is by taking a Sabbath once a week. And Sabbath means just to rest. In whatever way that looks for you, it just means to rest. For me, that looks like taking a full 24 hours of not doing any schoolwork or any church work. And that's where most of my hiking happens as well. So where does your journey start? And what is taking a Sabbath? What does it look like to rest in God for you? So that's all I have for you guys this morning. Thank you. Am I supposed to pray out?
Stand with me. I do pray that you are encouraged this morning. One thing that I believe is that personal passion ignites corporate fire. the more you come in personally inspired through your relationship with God, the more you ignite a fire within the whole body. So I pray that you've been encouraged by what Hank said today, that your personal journey in your faith is extremely important. How are you allowing God to teach you? What are you understanding? What are you seeing from what He's showing you? And how are you taking that and bringing it to those around you and encouraging them along the journey? Amen. So thank you for your obedience today, Hank. Appreciate you and appreciate what you shared. For our note takers, Hank, I do this all the time. You get busy studying and you write down a bunch of passages of Scripture. Sometimes you might write down the wrong. If you're looking for where Solomon was in Exodus chapter 3, he's actually in 1 Kings chapter 3. All right, so just for next service, you'll know that. But that's not on Hank. That just shows you use a lot of studying and a lot of reading. So if you were taking notes and you're looking for where Solomon is, he's in 1 Kings 3. All right, and God gave him his understanding and his wisdom. Church, let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you want to grow us. You want us to mature in you. And God, that doesn't happen from us just being once a week for 1 hour of our life in a church building, hearing a message and being a part of worship. That happens through our own desire to get in your word. When we come together on days like this, it's an opportunity for encouragement, for confirmation, for building one another up. But God, our growth can take place when we open up your word, when we spend time seeking you and putting ourselves completely in you. So God, I pray today that you would help us to see how you're leading us along that path. God, help us to create that space for us in our life. And Father, I pray today for anyone that might be here that has never started that journey with you, never started a faith journey for you, never surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. God, I pray today that today is a day that they are drawn to Jesus, they're drawn to you, Father, through Jesus. And today may be the first day that they take a moment to say, I believe Jesus is real. Jesus died and he gave his life for me. And I surrender to him today as Lord. And I want to begin to follow him and let him grow me and teach me in this life. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that guides us. We thank you for your word that directs us. We thank you for your word that shows us Jesus Christ. And we thank you for Jesus who shows us the Father. So God, we give you praise for that today. We honor you and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. We pray you've been encouraged by the word today. Go be catalyst for transformation.
If you need prayer in any way today, we would love for you to reach out to us. You can go to our website, bwccambin.com. Go to our contact page. You'll find a link there to request prayer or send us anything that you would like to communicate with us today. Or you can also simply text the word prayer to 803-676-7566. And we will be back in touch with you to find out how we can be in prayer for you. God bless you. We hope that you have a great week.